Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
James Rapine right now, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phoner, Indians beat reporter James Rapine. Hello, James.
What's going on?
James, you just heard what Ryan said. Do you agree with him? Do you think that this is a selling baseball club right now, that they've lost 7 of 8?
It's certainly easy to say that right now, and it's easy to think about long-term rebuilds. What I would caution fans with who are calling for that is that those are painful. And in baseball, they take longer than 2 years. And again, they're painful. It takes a while. You're talking 3 to 4 years if you tear it down all the way down to the studs, so to speak, and get a bunch of prospects in here. And it would be a lot of losing. So, yeah, I think there are times when organizations need to go through that, and maybe down the line the Indians look at themselves and say that. I wouldn't say that now. I know they're under 500. I get it. The Twins, the best record in baseball, but that to me is a little bit of an overreaction. I would wait before I'd call for a fire sale or a complete rebuild, even though it's not looking good right now.
Well, James, the alternative to that, of course, is to just go with what you have and maybe even make a move at the deadline. But the problem I have is, I know in baseball we say every year, well, you just get in, you have a chance. I don't think this team has a chance. I don't even think if they just get in, anything can happen. I don't believe that. They would be, to me, a big underdog in a wild card game and then a big underdog in a series. And while making the playoffs is exciting and we'll all sit here and convince ourselves we have a chance and whoop it up, I just saw what happened last year, and that was a way better Indians team than this team. And I think the Astros are even better than they were last year. The Yankees have had all those injuries, and they could be even better when they get guys healthy. And the Red Sox basically took the first month and a half off with their starting pitching, and now you're starting to see that they're a legit team, not to mention that the Rays are there. There's just too many formidable opponents. What would be the point of going like all in at the deadline?
Sure, and as of now, there's zero chance they would do that, right? I mean, going all in at the deadline is only for teams, or should only be for teams that you think have a chance to win a championship. And I think going into this year, we thought that those odds were slim based on what they did in the offseason. I think now they're even slimmer, and probably not there at all, non-existent. So I get it. I totally understand that aspect of it. I just think that the rebuild, I think there's a gray area where if you're not going all in, but you're not going full-fledged rebuild, and you just need to almost wait and see. Like, I'm not just going to trade Francisco Lindor because I decided to go rebuild, or I'm not going to just trade, insert who you want, Trevor Bauer mid-season, because the season hasn't gone the way you wanted it to. So, to me, I don't think the front office should overreact to the struggles. They should, though, acknowledge, hey, this offseason, or last offseason, we put ourselves in this position. And whether you want to blame ownership or whatever you want to do, trades, et cetera, they need to figure that out. So I'm not going to just sell all the good pieces you have. But I also agree with you that as of now, there's no way they can go all in, given what the roster is and given their struggles and how flawed they are.
So is Lindor off the table?
This year at the deadline, probably. I mean, unless you get such an offer that is too good to turn down, yeah, I don't see. I wouldn't shop him. There's no way I would shop him right now or this year or this at the deadline, because as much as we want to talk about the Indian struggles, part of the reason why everyone's ruling out the Indians winning the division right now isn't because they're 26 and 27. It's because the Twins are amazing, and I'm not going to trade Francisco Lindor, as one of the best players in baseball, because the Twins are amazing. So the offer would have to be really, really amazing for me to consider trading him this year.
James Rapine joining us on the hotline, our Indians beat reporter. Do you think this team will, and when it's all said and done, will have a better chance if they don't, you know, give up by the deadline? Do you think they will have a better chance at the division or the wild card?
It's easy to say the wild card today, but when you look, you know, Boston, Tampa Bay, New York, I'd still probably say the division, just because as good as the Twins look right now, I expect them to come back to earth. Doesn't mean that they're still going to, you know, they're going to win 82 games. You know, I thought they'd win in the low 80s this year. It looks like they're going to win 90-plus easy with what they've done so far. But to me, I would still say the division. But It's hard to talk about the playoffs right now. It really is, because the Indians don't look like a playoff team. They're obviously not playing like one now, losing 7 of 8. But they haven't looked like a playoff team at all. Even before they lost 7 of 8, they were 25-20, on pace for 90 wins. No one in Cleveland really thought they were going to win 90 games, because it just didn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like a playoff team. And I think that's why we're hearing fire sale. I think that's why we're talking about trades and rebuild and using terms like that, because they haven't felt like a playoff team. It doesn't feel like it has in recent seasons, and that's why fans and everyone, they're worried, because it feels like that run, that window is officially shut.
I felt bad yesterday to see Mercado just kind of get unlucky and maybe misplay that ball, considering the dimensions of that field, a little fluky there in Boston yesterday. But let's dwell on the good stuff, which is home run over the weekend, first career home run, and then two more RBI yesterday. What is the profile of a player like this, if you consider what he was projected to be coming in as far as a prospect, and how he's gotten off to a pretty good start?
Yeah, it's interesting, because the Indians get him from St. Louis, which is a really well-run organization, and he's kind of exploded onto the scene. I mean, you get him last summer. He has a great spring for you, and suddenly fans know all about him, and he comes up, and he's delivered so far. I think that hitting him in the two spot, I love it. I thought when they promoted him that was the ideal scenario, is he plays well enough and shows he's capable of moving up in the order, and hitting him there in the two spot, it makes a ton of sense. So I think he's got a pretty high ceiling. There really isn't a weakness to his game. He has misplayed a couple balls in the outfield. He did one at Progressive Field as well. But part of that's just experience and getting a feel for the ballpark, like you said. So I think, to me, a relatively high ceiling. I think when you look at this roster, it gives you a reason to watch and pay attention, because he is exciting, because he has speed. He can score from first, go from first to home on a double, or go from first to third on a single relatively easy. And he can make some big plays in the outfield as well with his athleticism. So I think Oscar Mercado has delivered. And it's very hard as a young prospect, 24-year-old, your first stint in the majors, to deliver, and he's done that so far.
Should we be blaming Francona more for their struggles?
It's tough for me to do that. I mean, it really is. When you look at that lineup, I don't know what he would do or can do to make it better. Like, what button should he push? I mean, he's backed the guys publicly, obviously. He's pushed different buttons. The four hole seems to be a revolving door. Mercado, been in the lineup virtually every day, most days. Luke Lowe's a guy he's given chances to. The one thing I'd point to and say, well, maybe you can get more out of a young player if you do this, Jake Bowers. He's gone from outfield to DH to first base here and there, and he's a natural first baseman. And I know people just look at that Yandy Diaz trade and just say, oh, well, the Indians lost that one. But I really wonder what Jake Bowers would be if he could play his natural position of first base, not have to worry about the outfield, know what's going to happen every day when he drives to the ballpark, and know he's going to be playing in a position that he's comfortable with. I think that might have been affecting him at the plate, because he's worried about that stuff. And you could argue that doesn't matter, that it shouldn't impact him, but I think it has. He's 23 years old. He showed some power. And he's certainly showed some potential. The Indians front office loves him, but so far he certainly had his struggles at the plate.
Now, you've mentioned some of the struggles, guys like Bowers. Obviously, we know about Kipnis and then Jose Ramirez. So if some of these struggles continue with these guys, are there anybody, or who should we look to, that could be next up on the horizon? Who could be the next Mercado?
Yeah, I mean, the first name that comes to mind would be Bobby Bradley. Is a guy that you could bring up, and he could add some pop. He's got some pop in his bat, certainly. It's just tough right now, because where do you play him? You know, you're not going to play him at first base. We just talked about that. In the DH spot, my idea to move Bowers to his natural position at first would mean Santana would be the everyday DH, or they would rotate between the two. So it's tough for me to see a spot there. You don't have anyone that can come up and be a second baseman, right, and be better than what you have in Kipnis. So it's tough, because their weaknesses, it's not like there's a guy there outside of Mercado that's just showing so much that you bring him up and you see him. I will say long term, Daniel Johnson, who just got promoted in AAA, I think as soon as next year, you could see Daniel Johnson in the Indians outfield and making an impact. He had a 10-game double-digit hit streak for AA, gets promoted to AAA, and has looked good, and he came over in that Yan Gomes deal. So I think long-term, that's a guy to keep an eye on. But right now, I don't really know if there's anyone the Indians can promote that isn't going to just clog up the roster, make things even more challenging on Terry Francona.
I know, James, already you talked about the buttons that Francona's pushed. He talked to the team before the homestand. That didn't go well. The homestand still went bad, except for taking 3 out of 4 against the hapless Orioles. When we're talking about what is there left to do, is there any concern about that locker room? I've heard just whispers. I'm not there every day. You're there way more than I am. Are you seeing any evidence of this whatsoever, that there could be some issues behind the scenes?
I'm not, but I certainly wouldn't be shocked if, you know, a guy like Francisco Lindor is frustrated. You know, those are the guys. Oscar Mercado's not going to be frustrated. He's happy to play every day. Some of these young guys aren't going to be frustrated for that reason. But if you're a guy like Lindor, you get injured in the offseason training. It's not like you got injured messing around. You're training. You get injured, and you battle back. You get injured again, continue to battle back, and you fight back to come back early. You're not 100%. You're playing every single day, and you're giving it everything, and you're the best hitter on the team. That would be frustrating. I would be frustrated behind the scenes if I was Francisco Lindor, even with the injuries and stuff, because you're doing everything you can for the team to succeed. A team that, by the way, probably isn't going to extend you in a couple of seasons when you're a free agent and could end up trading you, and this is the product that you're putting on the field. So I would not be shocked at all if he's frustrated or some of the veterans are frustrated, because they expected to win a fourth straight division championship. And while there's still plenty of time this year, it doesn't look like the Indians are going to do that.
James, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and phone. Make sure you take us with you to work, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. Yes.
Boy, interesting point when it comes to Francisco Lindor that James brings up, because they already gave you a contract that, let's face it, I'm sure Lindor and his agent are kind of laughing at that offer, okay? Well below what he thought.
Are they really laughing?
Oh, I okay. Bet you they are.
Like har, 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 har?
Like,
or he, 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 he. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Kind of like, you can't be serious with this. You know what I'm going to be able to sign in a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, but that's what they can offer. And what they can offer right now is guaranteed. If you get hurt, my God, if something bad happens.
But you athletes get offended very easily, and you wonder. Fine. Then next thing you know, you're sitting there on a really good team, and you didn't get any support. You didn't get any support. They let Edwin go. They let, you know, Yonder Alonso, Michael Brantley.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys that are going to help you because they're around you. Now you're in leadoff. You've got no one to bring home at any point. So the whole thing is on you almost every game. You almost have to be perfect. And by the way, he's been really good. And you just wonder if the organization has what's best for Francisco at top of mind.
That's why I wonder, even if his numbers took a dip, 216-578-0092, I know even if his numbers took a dip, and he was offered commiserate money between the Indians and maybe a major market team, would he just take the major market team? Because if they can just get it together to sign you, it's the same thing I was asking about the Padres with Manny Machado. Are you just signing big money with Manny Machado and that's it? Or are you actually going to put a contender around Manny Machado?
But even before that, I bring up Machado because that's how ugly it started to look at the end of the Baltimore stuff with Machado. And is that going to be the way this looks with Lindor?
You don't want it,
because Lindor is a star.
Because it was just accepted at the end of that. Would you rather update coming up? And you know what? Thank God the Red Sox won while Bill Buckner was alive, because blaming him was the biggest load of crap I ever heard in my entire life. It's Ken Carman with Anthony Lima on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.